Hi everyone, and welcome to the first episode of the Audrey McGuckin Leadership Podcast. This podcast is dedicated to providing you guys with helpful insights from some of the industry's best and most respected leaders, particularly in the succession management and leadership development space. I'm your host, Audrey McGuckin, CEO of Audrey McGuckin Talent Solutions, and today we will be joined by Amy Grubb from the FBI. Amy is focused on succession management, and she is going to be one of our key speakers at our 14th annual Succession Management Conference in New York City, hosted by the Conference Board. In my discussion with Amy, she's going to share insights with us on how the FBI approaches succession management, and she'll give us an exclusive preview of her up-and-coming session at the conference. To learn more about our work in succession management, visit us at audreymcguckin.com or follow us on LinkedIn. Before we get started here with the interview, you know, I really just wanted to share a little bit of context on the world of succession management. So confidence in the talent pipeline continues to be a top priority for CEOs and CHROs. And organizations are really having to rethink and reinvent their succession practices. Easy to say, hard to do. And I think, you know, HR's ability to be able to rethink and transform these practices will be a differentiator for organizations, particularly organizations that are considering disruption, transformation, and change. Today, I'm thrilled to be joined in this episode by Amy Grubb from the FBI. I'll be back after the interview with some key takeaways and some wrap-up information. Amy, at the Conference Board, we are constantly really looking to bringing powerful insights to our attendees. And what that means is bringing to the conference speakers who have really different perspectives. I'm always looking for, you know, people that are doing something innovative and different. And innovative and different doesn't always mean that you spend a lot of money doing something. It doesn't always mean that it's a highly sophisticated product or service offering, but it does mean that it's different. And I was fascinated to hear about the work you're doing in succession at the FBI, and I wondered, you know, for our listeners here today, could you perhaps kick us off, Amy, with just a minute or two of context and background that really would help our listeners to understand, you know, what is it that you're solving for from a succession strategy perspective, and what is that like, that environment and that context?
Yeah, sure. So at the FBI, almost all of our talent is hired internally. So we really only have one pipeline, and that's an internal one. So our leaders grow in our organization. And so we only have a limited pool of individuals that we can be selecting from in the first place for our higher levels of leadership in the organization. In addition, we have traditionally thought that excellent leaders are those who are excellent technicians. And I don't think the FBI is alone in this, in tech firms, right? Well, if they're an awesome programmer, they must be an awesome leader. If they are an awesome accountant, they must be an awesome leader of accountants. And that doesn't always work out. And at the FBI, we had the same thing. We were thinking of, if you're a great special agent, then you must be a great leader as well. And that wasn't always the case. And so what we wanted to do is take the VUCA environment that our folks already grow up in and find ways to kind of develop them a little bit more. And for us as a corporation to understand the talent that was already in front of us, because right now, although it's a little less now, but in the past when we would have vacancy open, what we would do is be like, well, do we know anybody? And it wasn't as informed a conversation as I think it's been turning into in the last few years with some of the changes that we've made.
No, that's great context. Really appreciate you sharing that, Amy. Now, one thing that you also shared with me was, you know, the succession work at the FBI is not necessarily conventional, and nor is it obvious. And I wondered if you could share, you know, what do you mean by that, Amy?
Yeah, so I don't know that there's really anybody in the organization who would say that we have a succession plan per se, or that we have a succession planning program. But what we do have are elements of traditional succession planning programs that exist in our organization that by kind of reframing how we think about things in the talent cycle, we can sort of see a thread of a succession plan going on. So for example, we don't have a specific hypo talent program. We just don't, because we don't need to retain people. They stay anyway because they're going to be here for about 20 years. But what we do need to have is people who we decided are qualified enough or have the skills strong enough to become a frontline leader or a senior leader or an executive. So we have built within our promotion process it's not a certification, but you have to be deemed good enough to get into the management pool through developmental experiences that we require you to have before you apply for a position, certain assessments that we require you to take before you can apply for certain positions. And so it's not a hypo pool that we're building or developing. It's more of a not lopo pool, essentially. But what it does is it forces people to take certain trainings voluntarily, decide themselves that they want to do these developmental experiences to be progressing to the next level. And so that our talent development doesn't happen by accident. I mean, they already grow here. What we're doing is doing some intentional growing and having some volunteering there as well. We've also started having talent discussions. So they're not necessarily in reference to any one particular job per se, like, oh, wow, we really need to find somebody who can head up our cyber program. But it's rather, here's all the talent that I, as a high-level executive here, have. Let's talk about what these people's strengths and weaknesses are outside of a specific job, so that when jobs come up, we've talked about these people based on their skills. Then we talk about their fit for the job. And so when we still do that sort of, hey, do you know anybody? That still happens, but it's a much more informed, do you know somebody? Because we are talking about everybody and not just the people who are in my line of sight, not just the people that I've grown up with in the marketing department, not just the people that I've grown up with in finance, but rather we've talked about the breadth of people. And so those shiny rocks that we might not always recognize, everyone's gotten talked about. And so while it's not a pure succession plan, what we've done is we've been able to identify pockets of talent that we might not have otherwise found. So those are a couple that we do that aren't the traditional succession planning, but at the same time, I think fall into those buckets.
No, and I love how you shared that example. And that's really about turning traditional succession practices either on its side or upside down. So not necessarily starting with the job, but starting with the capabilities that exist in the organization. And you never said these words, but it sounds like, that gives you more agility. And the ability to move people around based on their capabilities versus shoehorning people into specific jobs.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, it's a work in progress. So we're not there yet, but the journey has definitely begun and the train has definitely left the station. And that's kind of where we want to be.
Yeah, it's fascinating. And a lot of the folks that join our conferences are pretty, well, this one in particular, they're pretty excited to hear from you, Amy, and some of the work you're doing. Could you just share a little bit more detail on, what some of the participants can expect to explore with you? You're going to do a general session in this year's conference, which we're very excited about. I'd love to hear from you, just a little window into, what our participants might hear.
Yeah, so I'm always a big fan of keeping it real when it comes to presenting things at conferences. Oftentimes you go and you hear these magical and wonderful things that people have put together. And as a practitioner, you know that it didn't start like that on the drawing board and it had a whole lot of obstacles and it probably didn't end as awesome as they're saying, although I'm sure it's fantastic. And so what I want to do is kind of put a level of reality out there that no matter how bureaucratic your organization is, no matter how agile your organization is, no matter how big it is, no matter how small it is, you can be successful when it comes to succession planning just by looking at the different talent processes that you already have and maybe just turning them on their head a little bit, or looking at them from the back instead of the front, and not thinking about things from a big programmatic level, but rather, what do you already have that you can actually link together in a different way, kind of like Legos? How can you reassemble your Legos to see that you actually do have a succession planning program, and it's actually hindering you in some instances because you're just relying on word of mouth as opposed to assessment data, or you are relying on volunteerism as opposed to encouragement of people moving forward. And so what I hope people get is a real sense of hope that I actually probably have a succession planning program in my organization. And even if I know that I have one, I might have other elements of it that can make it even better. And I'm just not linking those things together. So I'm going to share some real world examples, some of the things that worked for us, some of the things that didn't work as well for us, and why. So that people can kind of leave with a sense of, oh, wow, I can really do something back at my organization.
That's fantastic. And I mean, you never used these words, Amy, or you never made reference to this, but it sounds a little bit or a lot like some design thinking principles. Which is to take a process and really look at it from different angles. Mm-hmm. And gain different perspective so mm-hmm. that you can have a different outcome.
Exactly.
Yes, that's fantastic. Amy, we could not be more excited to have you on the program. I was in New York City this week and everybody's excited to be part of the program, particularly to hear your session. So thank you. We really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm very excited.
That was fantastic perspective from Amy Grubb, particularly when she talked about how the FBI are really not approaching succession in a traditional way, but rather they're almost turning it on their side or turning it upside down, looking at it in a different way, looking at it with a different lens, and that's leading them to think about different solutions. So thank you everyone for listening to this episode in our podcast series. Please join us on the 8th and 9th of November in New York City to hear from Amy and other organizations, including AT&T, United Technologies, Sanofi, Johnson & Johnson, and Microsoft. You'll hear from all of these organizations on how they're approaching succession in new and innovative ways. Go to conferenceboard.org to register now for this conference. You can also learn more about our work in succession management at audreymcguckin.com and follow us on LinkedIn. Thanks again, folks, for listening to this episode of the Audrey McGuckin Leadership Podcast. Look for a new episode next month. Until then, thanks, everyone.